My premise this morning is that you don't want news that you cannot use. You want news you can use, and at Friendship, we want to be relevant with the application of God's Word to our lives. And so this morning, I want to give you some news that you can use. Kind of feel like the chicken who wanted to lay an egg on the interstate. The rooster said, if you're going to lay an egg on the interstate, you've got to lay it on the line, and you better do it quickly. And that's exactly what I want to accomplish this morning. I want to talk with you today about the resurrection. Without exception, we've all experienced the crash of unmet expectations. Some of us have been gouged by grief that won't seem to go away. Many of us have been hit with an array of doubt and disappointment and depression and defeat. And today our focus is on the resurrection of Christ. Friend, you can experience renewal today, but I must tell you that renewal is only possible through a spiritual rebirth. While many know Easter as the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to a recent Barna poll, only 42% of Americans associate this day with Jesus rising from the dead. It seems that Easter still has a distinctly religious connection for people, but the specifics are quickly fading in a lot of people's minds. And church, I want to share with you some of the specifics of the resurrection so that we can see its relevance for our lives today. You may have heard about a boy who wasn't happy about going to church on Easter Sunday. His shoes were too tight, his tie pinched his neck, the weather was too good to be inside. And as he pouted in the back seat of the car on the way to church, his parents heard him complaining. He said, "I don't see why we go to church every Easter. They keep telling the same story, and it always comes out the same in the end." And church, the reason the story comes out the same is because Jesus did rise from the dead. Amen? Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul summarizes the essentials of the gospel message in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 3. He writes, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Church, I believe we need to keep telling the same old story because many have either forgotten or they don't think that it's relevant anymore. I must tell you the truth, and the truth is that the resurrection lies at the heart of Christianity. If you were to remove Jesus' resurrection, Christianity would be destroyed. Friend, if you take away the resurrection of Christ, then there is nothing specifically Christian left. I've got to tell you that if Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, then we have nothing to believe. And we have nothing to preach. If Jesus is still in the grave, then bring the missionaries home, and anything called Christianity is a waste of time. Church, if Jesus is not alive today, then we might as well close up shop and head home, because life is hopeless if Christ were not raised from the dead. But before you head for the door, if you'll drop down to verse 20, Paul said, "But now Christ has been what? He has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who are asleep." Church, the testimony of the Word of God is that Jesus is alive today. 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul mentions the word "if" 7 different times. He suggests in verses 12 through 19 that if Christ had not risen from the dead, there would be no foundation for faith. Without the resurrection, our prayers would remain unanswered. Our lives would be without purpose. Folks, we would be a wreck without the resurrection. I want us to consider 3 areas that apply to each one of us. And listen, folks, if you choose to live your life independent of Christ, if you fail to make a conscious decision to place your faith in Jesus, the Bible teaches that apart from Christ, there are 3 F's that you will receive. And the first F is failure. It's failure. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." sin is an archery term when a person would shoot an arrow at a bullseye and miss the target. It was called a sin because they missed the mark. And church, that is the very thing Paul explains happens in each one of our lives. We all miss the mark of perfection. We all have sin. There are times when we know right from wrong and we do the wrong thing. There are occasions when we fail to do the right thing. Our sin, yours and mine, disqualifies us from heaven. Our sin separates us from God. Sin cuts us off from God. And the Bible says that we have fallen short. Every single one of us has sinned. I don't know about you, but even on my best day, I fall miserably short. And so apart from Christ, we receive the F of failure. We also receive the F of futility. Friend, apart from Christ, we are left clueless as to what life is truly about. Without Christ, life is meaningless. Without Christ, we worry about everything. Listen, the Bible teaches that if you die without trusting in Christ for salvation, then this life will be as close to heaven as you will ever experience. Failure, futility. And then without Christ, we also receive the F of finality. Beloved, because we have failed and because life apart from God is futile, there is a final judgment that is approaching. Listen to the writer of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27. He says, "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes judgment." Folks, death is inescapable. God's judgment is imminent. The latest statistics now show that one out of one will eventually die. And along with death comes judgment, failure, futility, finality. Church, that is our report card when we choose to live life without Christ. It summarizes the life for those of us who never experience a spiritual rebirth. My guess is that you didn't come today to hear bad news, but I want you to stay with me. Stay with me because we cannot embrace the life-changing news of the resurrection until we first understand the bad news of life apart from Christ. The relevance of the resurrection is that it satisfies our three deepest needs. In other words, Jesus replaces these three F's with three A's. And let's consider God's report card. The first A that we receive when we place our trust in Christ is that in Christ we receive acceptance instead of failure. Amen. In exchange for our sins, Jesus provides forgiveness. Look with me in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. It says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins." Church, we all long to be accepted. And the good news is that when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are forgiven and we are made right with Him. The gospel details how Jesus was delivered over to death for our sin and that He was raised to life for our justification. And I don't want you to take my word for it. Listen to Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul announces this, that God has forgiven us all our sins, having canceled every record of the debt we had to pay. Jesus has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Church, the good news is that through faith in Christ, He has done away with our past by nailing our sin to the cross. In other words, He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. In Christ, our sins have been forgiven. And friends, if God held our transgressions against us, we would be in big trouble. Some of us are so filled with guilt and with shame that we wonder if we will ever be free of the chains of addiction and agony. Our hurts have handcuffed us to our past. Our sins have made us feel very small and insignificant. Let me give you some great news this resurrection day. God raised Jesus from the dead to validate our forgiveness and to vindicate what His Son went through for us when he died in our place on the cross. The good news is that Jesus' death and resurrection cancels your debt if you will place your trust in him. Friend, if you die without trusting in Christ for salvation, then this life will be as close to heaven as you will ever experience. And for nothing but hell awaits you in the life to come. But I want you to listen. If you die as a follower of Jesus Christ, if you put your faith in him, then this life will be as close to hell as you will ever experience. And nothing but heaven awaits you. Beloved, I want you to know that if you put your life in God's hands and you rely on the power of his resurrection, that means that nothing can swallow you up. Nothing can destroy you. And I think that's the message of the resurrection. Church, there is still power in the blood of Jesus to make all things new in our lives as we surrender to him. Are you ready to end your alienation from God and be accepted by him? The Bible teaches that he has made a way for that to happen through the death and resurrection of his son. He can turn your failure into acceptance because the payment for your sins has been satisfied through Jesus' death and his resurrection. The second A on God's report card is that in Christ we receive arrival in the place of futility. Arrival in the place of futility. Instead of wondering what life is about, we can enjoy a purposeful life in Christ. In verse 17, it says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless or futile." That word futile means without purpose. Church, I'm convinced that life is not worth living if Jesus did not rise from the dead. And as you read through the New Testament, it's obvious that the followers of Jesus, they thought their lives were futile after Jesus died. Even though he had predicted his resurrection, they totally lost their focus when he was crucified on Calvary's cross. In Matthew chapter 28, we read about a couple women, two women, both named Mary. The setting is resurrection morning. These ladies came to the tomb where Jesus was laid. And Matthew reports that an earthquake had taken place and an angel rolled back the stone that was covering the entrance. I used to think the angel removed the rock so Jesus could come out. Now I realize that God removed the stone so these women could see inside. Friend, I believe Jesus still moves stones today. We all have boulders we cannot move. We have people that we cannot please. We have alcohol we cannot avoid. We have worry that will not go away. Sins we cannot sever. Relational ruptures. These ladies had gotten up early. John mentions that it was still dark. I'm afraid that for a lot of us, our worlds are dark. And the hardest thing to do is to get out of bed in a dark world. It's hard to get up and get moving when your heart is dark. It's not easy to take another step. It's not easy to go uphill in this dark world. But God, who had held his angels back all week long, he sees these faithful, loyal ladies coming to the tomb while darkness engulfed them. And God says to his angel, "Okay, I'm going to reward them. Go down and move the stone so they can see inside." And these women, they're given a mission which is wrapped up in a message found in Matthew 28. And here's the mission within the message. The angel tells the women, "Jesus is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead." John tells us that one of the Marys stood outside the empty tomb. She was crying because for her, life seemed empty, worthless without Christ. In John chapter 20, she turns and she sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize him. And Jesus asks her the first of two questions. First question the Lord asked is this. He said, "Woman, why are you crying?" Friend, you can be sure that Jesus knows all about those things that make you sad. He understands your fear, your anxiety, and he wants to walk through your pain with you. many of you are filled with discouragement. Your life has been shattered. And yet, the good news is that Jesus not only asked Mary about her sorrow, but he also wants to know about her seeking. The second question that he asked is this: who is it that you're looking for? You notice he didn't ask what she was looking for, but whom are you looking for? Because, church, the reality is that until we find Jesus, we will continue searching for someone who will accept us, someone who will show us love. In John 20, verse 16, Jesus calls her by name. He calls her by the name of Mary. Friend, the resurrected Christ is speaking your name this morning, and he's crying out to you: Stephen, Mary, Ross. Can you hear him calling out to you? Will you follow him? Will you surrender to him? I want you to remember that renewal is only possible through spiritual rebirth. Because we've been accepted through his forgiveness, we have arrived with purpose in our lives. And there's one more A to replace the final F on our report card, and that is: in Christ, we receive the afterlife in exchange for finality. With the resurrection of Jesus, we have a future beyond this life on earth. Check out 1 Corinthians 15, verses 18 and 19. If Christ had not been raised, Paul says, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Listen, because the tomb is empty, when we come to the end of our days on this earth, we do not come to an empty end. I've heard that possums are smart animals, and you wouldn't think so because you hardly ever see one that's alive. They're usually dead on the side of the road. You probably heard the joke about why the chicken crossed the road to prove to the possum that it could be done. Well, it turns out that possums are smart. Did you know that a possum won't enter a hole if there's only one set of tracks going into the hole? Because the possum knows that there's something inside. However, if there are two sets of tracks, the possum will enter the hole and not be afraid. And friend, the message of Easter is that we can enter the grave, and we don't have to fear death because there are tracks leading out of the tomb. Amen. The message of the resurrection is that every follower of Christ will be raised immortal, incorruptible, completed, free from sickness, delivered from death with sin, gone forever. Every follower of Christ will be raised with human frailty disappeared, personality retained, supernaturally restored, made like Jesus, all the defects finally gone, all that is under construction finally completed. And we will be raised with healthy bodies, and with clear minds, and with undivided hearts. Every follower of Christ will be raised with all the saints of all the ages in a multitude that no one can number. And we will gather around the throne, and we'll know each other more deeply, and we will love more completely, and we will think more clearly. We will still be who we are, and yet we will be more alive than we've ever been. Every follower of Christ will be raised. We will marvel at the grace of God forever. And we will see Jesus and we'll bow down before him. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And church, that is our hope. Amen? As believers in Christ, we have hope in this life and we have the confidence of heaven in the afterlife. Friend, the question isn't, will I die? The question is, what will happen when I die? And I can assure you that what you do with Jesus now will determine what he does with you for all of eternity. Church, when Jesus rose from the dead, he destroyed death for his followers, claiming victory over the grave. The resurrection brought death to death. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 and 55. Says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? I want you to understand that if you believe and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when this life comes to an end, you will be removed from this life and you will be transferred to heaven. You see, death for the believer is simply a transfer. 1 Corinthians 15:20 kind of caps off our passage with this concluding statement. Paul says, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead." You'll notice it's not if Christ has been raised. It says, "But now Christ has been raised." Some translations read, "Christ has indeed been raised." Church, Jesus has risen victorious over sin, over death and the grave. Some of you struggle with a past you cannot shake. And if so, you need acceptance through God's forgiveness. Some of you have a present that you cannot stomach, and you need to arrive and have a life that is both purposeful and meaningful with Christ at the center of your life. Some of you have a future that you cannot face, and you need the hope that comes only through faith in Jesus Christ. Friend, no matter how shattered your life is, I know that God can renew you. But this renewal is only possible through a spiritual rebirth. Jesus said it like this in John 3:3. He said, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Friend, only God can put the pieces of your life back together. His hand is reaching out to you, but you must take it. And you don't have to perform. You don't have to earn his forgiveness. All you must do is to receive it. And so will you call out to him? Will you ask him to change you from the inside out? Friend, because Jesus has been resurrected from the dead, I want to give you the opportunity this morning to respond. Over 25 years ago, I experienced this spiritual rebirth. I was tired of living an empty life. I knew that I was headed for a very real place called hell. I recognized that apart from Christ, that this life was as close to heaven as I would ever experience. And for me, I wanted something more. I wanted an experience with Jesus Christ. I wanted a personal relationship with him. I wanted the assurance of heaven when I die. So here's what I did to experience this rebirth. The three R's. The first R is repent. I admitted that I was a sinner. I turned away from the way that I was living. I asked God to help me to make a U-turn, to turn away from sin and self. And I turned away from sin so that I could turn towards him, repent, and then receive. I accepted what Jesus had done for me through his death and resurrection. I asked him to save me from my sins as I received the gift of eternal life. And I'll be the first to tell you, I didn't understand it all. There were a lot of things about the Bible that at that moment in my life I still didn't understand. But I knew that Jesus was God's Son. And I knew that he died for me. And I knew that he was my only hope in this life, my only hope in the life to come. And so I repented, I received, and then I experienced a rebirth. And I'll never forget praying. Second Baptist Church, Marion, Illinois. I'll never forget asking God to make me born again. And friend, he did. I invited him to take control of my life as I completely surrendered my life to him. And friend, for me, it was like the weight of the world was lifted from my shoulders as God's love filled my life. Because of Jesus' resurrection, I now have the assurance of eternal life. What is the resurrection? What does it mean to you? Is it just an ancient event? What difference does it make that Jesus rose from the dead? I'll tell you the answer. The answer is this. The resurrection means absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing unless you appropriate it into your life. The resurrection means nothing to you unless you establish a relationship with Christ Jesus. Friend, if you fail to open your life to Christ and the salvation that he provides, then the resurrection means nothing to you. Jesus came to give you a relationship. He came to give you eternal life. And if you'll repent, turn from your sin, if you will receive the gift of eternal life, if you will ask Him to make you new through this spiritual rebirth, then God promises that He will prepare a place for you in heaven. Friend, if you're ready to receive this new life right now, would you just talk to God through prayer? Right where you are, would you express your heart to Him? You might say to Him, Jesus, for far too long, I've kept you out of my life. I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins by changing my mind about the way that I've been living. I receive you as my risen Savior. With all my heart, I confess that you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins, and you rose from the dead on that third day. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me the gift of eternal life. I want to be renewed through a spiritual rebirth. Do you have the courage today to share with others your decision to follow Christ? You see, the Bible talks about the need for us to identify ourselves as a Christ follower. There are 29 steps. If you're sitting in the very back room, back in the far left, 29 steps to get from that back corner right down here. Tell me which step is the hardest. The first one. The first step is the most difficult. Will you take that step? Will you come to Christ today? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Some of you have moved to Paducah and you haven't connected with a community of faith. You need a place to worship. You need a place to grow, a place to serve. We'd love for you to become a part of what God is doing here at Friendship, be a part of this church family. If God's leading you here, why not get involved in what God is doing? Come and share with us your desire to unite with this community of faith. Church, we have much to celebrate. Amen? We have much to celebrate, for our Lord has conquered the grave. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the gospel. Lord, we acknowledge there's much in your word that's hard for us to understand, but salvation isn't one of those things. It's so simple. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. And on the third day, he was raised to new life. Father, thank you for the good news of the gospel. We thank you that the gospel is still changing lives today. And God, our prayer is that the lives of some here this morning would be changed forever as they identify themselves as a follower of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we pray for those who are without a relationship with you, that, Father, today they would exchange failure and futility and finality with acceptance, arrival, and the promise of life after this. Father, move this morning within your church. All that you desire to do, God, we pray that it will be done in this place, be done in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.